You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
And I may come with passion, and I may come in righteous indignation, and I may offend you by telling you straight up truth, but if the devil can make you think and hear me speaking words of hate instead of words of love, then I've lost you from hello. But if the Holy Ghost can penetrate your heart past the lies of the enemy trying to tell you that I'm your enemy so that God can convince you that I'm your friend and I'm trying to help you, then we have hope that maybe something I said can touch your heart and change your life. But you'll never listen to a preacher if you question his motives.
The enemy knows that he can't discredit God's word. The Bible has stood the test of time, regardless of who tries to stand against it. But what the enemy tries to do now is discredit those who are spreading the good news that we find in Scripture. Pastor Gary reminds you today that if you are more focused on discrediting the messenger than listening to the message being given, you have lost track of your priorities. God will use imperfect messengers to deliver his perfect gospel. Now here's Pastor Gary in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he continues his message, On Christ, the Solid Rock, I Stand.
If you're going to find truth, wouldn't you want to go to the one who created everything? It makes sense to me. If you have a problem with any of your appliances, you go to the manufacturer, right? If you ultimately have to, sometimes you can go to the retailer and they'll just swap it out. But if the retailer doesn't help you, then you go to the manufacturer because they know more than anybody what that thing was designed to do and how to fix it. Why would we go to anybody else besides the original manufacturer for answers to our soul problems? And yet we have people today that will gladly take the place of God in your life and tell you it is not what the Bible says. This is the way. Walk herein. And they will lead you astray from the Word of God. Or worse, they'll give you a twisted version of it to make you think that it's okay when it's not. What we need to do is find out what truth actually is. And Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm just saying, we do well to listen and obey what Jesus said. And Jesus always affirmed the full weight and authority of all Scripture. He preached from Old Testament texts to affirm that they were, in fact, the words of God. He never discredited them. He never cast doubt on them. We have a generation today that wants to pick and choose and cherry pick and twist and do religious acrobats with the text to try to maintain a form of godliness while denying the power that it was supposed to deliver to transform a life. And they like the part where Jesus told the lady who was caught in the very act of adultery, neither do I condemn thee, but they forget the second part where it says, now go and sin no more. We want the forgiveness, but we don't want the accountability. We want the grace, but we don't want the transformation. We want to live in sin while getting out of jail free card from God without any consequence. But God will hold us accountable to whether or not we not just listen to, but obey the Word of God. Jesus ends this Sermon on the Mount with a powerful image. Every person is a builder. We all are constructing a life. Some build on the rock, capital R, Jesus Christ, amen. Others on sand, and the storm will come, and it will reveal what foundation that we've chosen. So let's walk through this passage with three simple but weighty truths. We're going to look at the rock of obedience, we're going to look at the ruin of opposition, and then we're going to look at the rewards of obedience. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. Point number one, let's look at the rock of obedience. Verse 24 again says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. If Jesus thought, I believe this, if Jesus thought there could be any other way but coming to us to reveal God to us in flesh form, if he thought there's any other way, he would have allowed that or done that. But there was no other way. He knew that left to our own devices, we would self-implode and self-destruct. That man cannot figure it out outside of the revealed will, ways, and word of God. So he came in epic fashion to, and the Bible said, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. And the reason the Lord comes and captivates our undivided attention is because that's what it takes to awaken us out of spiritual slumber. Otherwise, we would assume that we're just fine without him. So he has to interrupt our thought process. He has to interrupt the path that we're on. He has to set up our roadblocks on our way to hell to tell us, stop before destruction. Pay attention. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to heal you. I'm not trying to hate you. But the Bible says the wicked go right on and are punished. If you want to go on, he'll let you. But he's not going to let you go down for a fight, and neither will I. The rock of obedience, the wise builder, hears and obeys Christ's words, and wisdom is not just knowledge, it's obedience. Think, for example, of King Solomon. Solomon had wisdom, he had wealth, and he had power, Brother Lester, and yet he even turned from God himself. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4, the Bible said, for it came to pass that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So at the end of the life of King Solomon, the wisest man and the richest in human history, might I add. You remember the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe, written from the perspective of an old and miserable and pessimistic individual. And the reason his perspective was so skewed and he called everything he experienced vanity was because after God gave him so much, he allowed his wives to turn his heart to other gods. And now everything that had meaning is now empty in his life. And I fear lest some of you, having heard of the principles and oracles of God, some of you, most if not all of your life, might at some point allow someone to turn your heart away from the true and living God. And even though you had it all, you might walk away from it all and still come up empty and saying, vanity of vanities, all is just vanity. But what did he conclude? Ecclesiastes 12:13. He finally circled back around and admitted the truth. And that was this: let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It is not a suggestion. It is not a recommendation. It is a duty. Yes, you can choose the life of disobedience if you want to, but don't call it anything but what it is: direct disobedience to the word and will and ways of God. Alternatively, we could look to Paul. You remember Paul, he built his life on Christ after meeting him on the road to Damascus, and his foundation was obedience to Jesus after kicking against the pricks and disobedience. So there is that wrestling, and the question at the end of the day is, will we allow the Lord to win the wrestling match over the throne of our hearts? And Paul, after much revelation from Jesus, obeyed, and we find his mantra in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He became a maniac for Jesus. He said, even if it kills me, I'm going to die doing what God called me to do and being obedient to what God told me to do. Because Paul knew that if he gained everything he wanted in this life but was in disobedience to the word of God, that it was all void and empty and purposeless. He said, if I live in Christ, then if I die by living for Christ, that even that's gain. I haven't lost anything. Because people fill their whole life with anything but Jesus and think they have it all, only to find out that it was not worth pursuing. I thought those would be powerful contrasts for you. Let's go on to point number two. Let's look at the ruin of opposition. In verse 26 of our opening text, it said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And so we see here that the foolish builder hears the word but rejects it. Opposition to Christ is always sinking sand. Can I say that again? Opposition to Jesus Christ is always, 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 without fail, sinking sand. Don't just take my word for it. Study history, human history. If you want to know where it worked, he said, if you don't believe me for my word's sake, believe me for the fruit, the evidence, the works. Look at the fruit of Jesus' words. And what the fruit of Jesus' words produces in people's life versus the fruit that disobedience to God's word produces. And you will find that every single time, without exception and without fail, 100% of the time, those who disobey Christ, they paid miserably in this life and eternally in the next for it. You will not be the exception. You will not be the one that finally manages to figure out a way to prove God wrong and to find that you come out on top and God comes out on the bottom. That will not happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is a ruin that comes with the opposition to God's word. And I must warn every person under the sound of my voice, lest Satan the tempter has slipped in and said, yea, hath God said. You know, it concerns me more than anything, the sheer number of young people today who have allowed the tempter to slip into their ear and question everything a God-fearing, God-loving, Bible-believing preacher has to say to them. And I tell you the tactic. I'm fixing to tell you the secret weapon of the devil. If he can put in your mind questions to the motive of the speaker, then he will also fulfill his job, and that is to detour his effects in your life. If he could just get you to doubt the motives of those trying to speak truth into your life. If he could get you to believe that I'm chauvinistic, if he could get you to believe that I'm hateful, if he could get you to believe that I'm prejudiced, if he could get you to believe, I don't know, what are some of the words they use today to try to downgrade and dismiss any God-called preacher, whatever, just fill in the blank. If they could get you to question my motives, they'll get you to disbelieve everything I ever have to say. You want proof? This is what Satan did in the garden. He said, God knows that if you eat of that tree, that you'll have knowledge of good and evil and you'll be as gods. He caused Eve to question God's motives. Okay, I hear you, devil. What is God really up to? I don't know if I can trust him anymore. And she bought it. She swallowed it hook, line, and sinker and plunged the entire human race into sin because she questioned the motives of God, thereby derailing the mission of God, which was her success and not her defeat. And I may come with passion And I may come in righteous indignation, and I may offend you by telling you straight up truth. But if the devil can make you think and hear me speaking words of hate instead of words of love, then I've lost you from hello. But if the Holy Ghost can penetrate your heart past the lies of the enemy trying to tell you that I'm your enemy, so that God can convince you that I'm your friend and I'm trying to help you, then we have hope that maybe something I said can touch your heart and change your life. But you'll never listen to a preacher if you question his motives. And the devil's going to say, you can't trust him. He's going to show you every flaw I make and every mistake I make and try to convince you. But he'll do that with every God-called preacher in your life. That's why if your position is to live what you want to live in disregard of the Word of God, you'll find fault with every messenger of God. There'll not be a single one that you'll listen to. You see this in our political environment today. And we have an enemy of our soul which weakens nations and divides nations and tries to paint broad with broad brushes and put all of us in political parties so that I can look at you and if I can tell that you vote this way or that, then I'm either your friend or your enemy. And nothing could be further from the truth in many cases. All he's got to do is get us to question each other's motives. And the truth is, there's some in here that probably vote Democrat. And I don't. I vote Republican. And I might vote Democrat next time if the Republicans go off the rail. Can I get an amen? Because what we try to do is vote our convictions, and I may have a different perspective and a different conclusion than you on how we come to who we should vote for. But at the end of the day, don't question someone's motives until you get to know them real good. Now, I lost half of you right there because you didn't even know that somebody could vote Democrat and be right with God. I'm not suggesting either way. I'm just simply making a bigger point. We allow the enemy to divide us by making premature conclusions about people's motives and character. And Amy, we can disregard someone who was gifted by God to transform our lives simply because of what somebody else said about them that wasn't true. There are people that disagree with Charlie Kirk's political views, and they hate him for them. They don't know the gift that he was to this world, because I know enough about Charlie Kirk to know that his motivation was his love for Christ, not his love of politics. He loved this country, don't get me wrong, but he chose to allow his politics to be shaped by his faith. And what he did politically was motivated by something deeper and something richer than how we vote and how we do this or how we do that. He tried to live out his convictions based upon his understanding of the revealed will and word of God for his life, and he tried to convey it in such a palatable way to the next generation that they would not be offensively turned off until they had enough time to hear him out. And he was always respectful even to his most fierce opponents, and you can't deny that. And I'm making a point that we can either buy into the lies of this age, which want us to turn off everybody that has anything good to say about this Bible, about this God, about this book, amen, and to put them in a political camp to completely disregard why God really put them here, which is to point us to Jesus. See how he does it? He tries to divide religion from politics. He's been doing it from day one. But you can't divide politics and religion because everybody that votes has also got a religious belief one way or the other. You can't say what you got to do is you got to figure out who they are and what they believe about Jesus and how they treat their fellow man. I don't want to get too lost in these weeds, but I'm trying to prove a point. I don't want to come here week after week and try to reach a young generation that has already wrote me off because of what politicians who just want to get their money says about me. And the young generation, hear me, there is a propaganda machine, and it comes from both ends sometimes, depending on who's in charge and what their motives are. I get that. But don't believe everything you hear, and understand there is a prince of the power of the air that works in the children of disobedience today that's trying to turn the hearts of an entire generation to be anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-church, anti-preacher, and they with convincing terms, amen, and logic of men have caused many to stray away from the faith. The Bible said that in the last days many shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they will turn away from the faith and be turned unto fables. What happened? Somebody stopped listening to and obeying the truth. Because somebody told them that the truth teller was not trustworthy. What do they say about Jesus? See, if you can't win against the argument itself, you have to attack the one who gave the argument. Oh, he's a wine bibber. He eats with publicans and sinners. They had all kinds of negative things to say about Jesus because his message was so potent and so powerful that the next best thing for them to do was to attack the messenger, since they could not attack and prove wrong the message. That's what happened to Charlie Kirk, and that's what happens to a lot of Christians that stand up and declare what thus saith the word of God. God forbid, but it might even happen to me one day. I might have to give my life in this wicked, crooked, and perverse generation, because there are people that seek out to destroy people just like me who are willing to just stand up and preach the word as it is to men as they are. But God forbid that I compromise out of fear of men. The Bible says I shall not fear man. Amen. What can man do unto me? Amen. The Lord is on my side. I shall not fear. What can man do unto me? We got to understand what truth is, where it's coming from, and not let the devil talk us into doubting the motives of the one who gives truth. Truth itself may be offensive, and often is, but just because it's offensive don't mean it's not right, and don't mean it won't help you if you will simply obey it. Can I get an amen? Are you with me? We're living in a troubled world. We're living in a troubled world. All I can do is hope and pray that somebody's listening that believes. I promise you, I tell you the truth because I love you, not because I hate you, not because I'm trying to criticize you, not because I'm trying to ridicule you, belittle you, cast you down, ostracize you, not because I'm trying to marginalize you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth because I really believe with all of my heart what this book actually says, that if we don't obey the word of God, all of us shall perish. And I don't want to see any of us perish. The ruin of opposition. You've heard, maybe, I don't know, there was a French enlightener, philosopher, who lived from 1694 to 1778, whose name was Voltaire. He mocked the Bible and declared Christianity would soon be extinct. We say how well that worked out, don't we? Yet at the end of his life, his nurse recorded his words, and I quote, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell," end quote. His foundation crumbled. In contrast, there was another historical figure that you might remember by the name of William Wilberforce. Wilberforce lived from 1759 to 1833, who was a British statesman who came to Christ in his 20s and built his life on Christ's commands. For decades, he fought against slavery, enduring mockery and setbacks. And just days before his death, I believe it was 3 days, Parliament abolished slavery across the British Empire, and his life stood firm because it was built on the rock, Jesus Christ. And yet you have people today who call preachers like myself misogynistic, and they call me all kinds of names because I believe this book. And yet people who've believed this book and the principles of grace and the principles found in this book have done more to liberate people from slavery, have done more to elevate men from the plight of their destruction than any other sector in society. And yet the devil wants to paint a broad brush and make us look like the enemies and not the element and component of hope for this world. I'm not buying it.
Thanks for listening to Pastor Gary's message today on True North. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an edition. If you've enjoyed today's message, make a point to share these teachings with others. True North is a part of the ministry of Gary Caudill. Feel free to learn more at GaryCaudill.com. Is there something we could be praying for in your life right now? Let Pastor Gary know by sending an email to contact at GaryCaudill.com. That's contact at GaryCaudill.com. Would you do something for us too? Would you pray for the ministry of True North? We desire to present these messages with courage and to step out in faith and humility, allowing God to do the heavy lifting. Please pray that we'd stay connected to the vine who is Jesus Christ. Would you also pray for those who are listening to this broadcast? Pray that God would soften hearts and allow what's being heard to sink deep into each person's soul. Thanks so much for caring and for partnering with us in this way. Our time with you is up for today, but don't let that stop you from listening to more and more teachings by Pastor Gary. Join us again next time for another edition of True North.